Welcome to K-Drama School. I'm your host, Grace Jung. Nice to be here. Thank you all for tuning in. As you can see, I am not currently in my usual studio, and I have an announcement to make. I will not be in that studio probably never again. Yeah, there are some big changes that are currently happening, that are currently in motion, and I am in that motion. I am leaving Los Angeles, folks. I was able to get myself 3 interviews in the last couple of weeks at 3 different universities in America. And as luck would have it, I was able to secure an offer from all 3 universities. And it came as a big surprise to me, quite frankly, because I have been out of the game, as you all know, for the last 3 years. Like, yeah, right when I was starting this podcast, I was considering just leaving academia forever. And I had mentioned multiple times that I was done with academia. But I just had to admit to myself several things. You know, first of all, I had quit academia because I was afraid. The job market was pretty terrible in 2021 and 2022 for academics. And so I had valid reason to feel, I guess, discouraged and afraid. Some of the people who were perhaps well-meaning, who were trying to lead me in the direction of securing a position, they were just not the most helpful. And I took some of their, I don't know, their own personal baggage. I took it very personally at the time. And, you know, I mean, I could like nitpick through all of that, but I think overall, I had left academia for these last few years because I needed to heal. I needed to find some recovery and figure out why I would even want to be teaching. Figure out if I was even fit to teach. And I think the recovery that I've had over the last few years has led me to believe that I am now in a position where I feel more confident to be able to teach. I think writing the book has certainly helped. I think doing this podcast has also helped. But it does mean that I am leaving Los Angeles. So my energy is a bit low at the moment because it's just been a very emotional time. I know I've been emotional for like basically the whole time I've been doing this podcast, but the last 5 months have been especially intense. But today was also very, very dramatic for me. In any case, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that I was able to secure this job. I'm very lucky. I feel very, I feel very lucky. I feel very blessed. And it's a good position. It's at a good university. So I am starting a new chapter in my life. I don't know exactly what's going to happen with this podcast. My intention for now is to continue doing it. If you have not purchased a copy of my book, please do so. K-Drama School, A Pop Culture Inquiry into Why We Love Korean Television. And if you've read my book and you like it, please give it 5 stars on Amazon. Yeah, your voting and your reviews, your stars, your support, all of them matter. They matter very, very much. So please visit Amazon.com, give my book 5 stars, please write a nice review. Offer me a reflection if there's something about the book that spoke to you, something in the book that was new to you, that you learned about, something about the book that you enjoyed. Please share that with me, and it would be really lovely to hear from all of you. So that's some news, you guys. I am going to leave LA. I am leaving LA very, very soon, in less than 3 weeks. Yeah, so it's happening. It is seriously, seriously happening. I am going to today talk about a show called Love Struck in the City, 도시 남녀의 사랑법, which is a Netflix K-drama, but it is also a Kakao TV K-drama. So this is for web streaming only. And that is why you have scenes of explicit sex. I mean, you don't quite see like cock and balls and tits and ass, but yeah, there is a lot of action in there. And there's a frankness discuss, like open discussion of sexuality on the show, which is not as common in K-dramas. The show stars Ji Chang-wook, who you all know, I am currently kind of obsessed with this guy. Like, he's just so weird and interesting. He looks like a psychopath. I think I've said this before. He has the look of a psychopath. And a lot of those guys tend to be excellent actors. So Ji Chang-wook is on the show, and his opposite is Kim Ji-won. And who doesn't love Kim Ji-won? I thought this show was, initially, when I first saw this show, like I stopped watching it immediately because I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are they doing this? It's because it was shot in that mockumentary style, like, you know, like The Office, and yeah, like The Office is like the big one. That mockumentary style of filming, which we've seen on NBC, we've seen it in Parks and Rec, like we've seen it, and we've also seen it in a lot of Christopher Guest movies. If you haven't seen Christopher Guest films, they're very, very common in Christopher Guest movies, like yeah, like Best in Show, that's a big example. The Mighty Wind is another example. So yeah, I was just like, do I need to see a version of this again? Like, I kind of don't want to. I remember about like maybe 15 years ago. It's made by a Korean indie filmmaker. Okay, it's called Read My Lips. That's the English title, but the Korean title is Hal Su Innan Jaga Guhara. And it's a show. It's a TV show, but like it was made into like a film. I don't know quite how to explain it. It's like a weird hybrid of a film slash movie. And I think you could watch the whole thing on YouTube. It's made by Yoon Sung-ho, who is a film director, and he's an indie filmmaker. He made like a handful of movies, like Milky Way Liberation, which came out in 2007. I remember seeing Milky Way Liberation like a long time ago when I was in college. But he's like an indie filmmaker, and he made this like mockumentary style web series that was also like a movie. I mean, it's hard to explain it, but it's on YouTube. I don't know if there are subtitles, most likely not, but that series slash movie had that mockumentary style, and it was very obvious that it was ripping off from The Office and like Christopher Guest movies. So I had seen it done before, and to see it being done again on a K-drama, I don't know, something about it just like really bothered me. Because in this show, Love Struck in the City, I felt like it wasn't being done in a very smooth way. I didn't understand the purpose of it, like what was the point of it, right? But there are some useful aspects about the mockumentary style, because you get the interiority of these characters in a very real way. Like, yeah, they could sit in front of each other in a coffee shop and then have a dialogue, and then you could get the interiority through that. But it's still like veiled with the potential of being dishonest, because they're talking to somebody. And whenever we speak to somebody, we are self-censoring ourselves. But in this version, when you're just talking to the camera, you know, that you're having this like monologue to the camera, then you're not speaking to anybody. You could just be as frank as you want, right? Supposedly. So on the show, they're breaking the fourth wall, speaking directly to the camera and being very frank about their feelings, being very frank about their love lives and their upsets, their joys, their wants, their desires. So I was like, okay, like I guess there's something useful about this. The one innovative thing that Love Struck in the City does is they take some of the monologues where there are overlaps in what these characters are saying, and then they'll intersplice them, turning it into like a collective consciousness kind of deal. And I was like, okay, this is actually kind of working for me. So the editing in Love Struck in the City was very innovative in trying to deliver these characters' interiority and also say, like, basically everybody wants the same thing. They all want to be loved, they all want to be seen, they all want to be recognized. There was this one part on this show that really threw me off. I was like genuinely confused and I was like, wait, what the hell is going on? Because there's this scene when Chaewon's character goes to the police station, right? He's been going to the police station multiple times, like complaining about how his girlfriend broke his heart, blah, 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 like stole his camera, blah, 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 right? And the cops are just like so annoyed with this guy. The police eventually track the girl down and then they arrest her. And then they say to her, like, look, you stole this man's camera, and you know, this is a felony, and we're going to arrest you. So, you know, like she lies her way through it, and then Chaewon also like goes along with the lie, and then they're about to get her off the hook. But the police, they do take her identification, and you know, they're like taking down her name. And then Chaewon's character sees her identification card and recognizes that she is not who she said to be. And then the first thing that the cops say when they see Chaewon's reaction, like he's like so like, you know, in this like incredulous state, like he can't believe that she lied, blah, blah, blah. The cops all say the same thing. They're like, wait, is she a man? Is she a man? And I was like, oh my God, is she a man? Like I was genuinely. For a second there, I thought Kim Ji Won was playing a trans girl. I thought she was. I was like, oh my God, is this show about like queer love? Is this show about a trans woman? Like, is Kim Ji Won playing a trans woman? Is this about trans, like pansexuality? Is this like a queer text? For a full day, like 2 days, I was walking around like thinking that she was a man, like originally a man who transitioned into a woman, because the cops were acting so like, whoa. And then like Chaewon's character was acting so like in shock. But turns out, no, she just gave him a different name. That's all it was. Like, it wasn't at all what the cops said. And it wasn't at all like Chaewon's shock. Like his level of shock and sense of betrayal, which was at like a 30, right? When it should have been at like maybe a 7. It just threw me off so much because he was behaving as if like this was the most unbelievably horrific thing that anybody's done to him. It's like, okay, like she lied about her name. Maybe that's fucked up, but also who cares? Like you'd recognize her, you know, like it's to me, it was not that big of a deal. I don't know. So, yeah, that part of the show really threw me off. I enjoyed watching Han Ji-eun, actress Han Ji-eun, because she was in that show, Be Melodramatic. And Han Ji-eun is a very, how do I say, versatile actress. Yeah, because she's very different on this show compared to Be Melodramatic. On this show, she's like very confident, fierce, aggressive, hostile, like she's like a strong alpha lady. But in the other show, Be Melodramatic, she is not at all an alpha lady, like very passive kind of character, right? I thought the narrative about Rini's character, like the girl who's always working part-time jobs and like doesn't really want to real like quote unquote a real job, like a salaried position with like benefits and 401k, like she's like avoiding all of that. And then her boyfriend Kyungjun gives her shit about it. You know, he basically makes it seem like he's embarrassed to tell anybody that his girlfriend works a bunch of part-time jobs. And I was like, oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Because it's like this woman feels liberated in her decision not to go in this assimilationist pathway and go and pursue like a career, like a white collar career. But her boyfriend Kyungjun, who loves her dearly and who says he understands her, he still feels insecure about it, so he projects that insecurity and turns it into pressure on her. And so this again brings me back to this whole notion of like the failure discourse, like what exactly is success versus failure? You know, like these categorizations are very blurry. Very, very blurry. So anyway, I like this show quite a bit. It's not to me, it's not the kind of show I'll be returning to ever again. It's like, okay, like I got through it, I'm good with it. But in terms of like some of the discussions they were having, some of the qualms that young people have, like young urbanites are having, I thought that was very charming, unique. I thought all of the storylines were original, so I enjoyed that. One part of this show that was very moving to me is, it's like, okay, why did Yuno run away to the beach town, and why did she create like a whole nother identity for herself, right? Like that was the question. And as it turns out, it was because her last boyfriend and her last job basically said, you're not good enough. Like, you are too blah. There's nothing charming or outstanding about you. And so, like, we don't want you, right? And she felt so discarded, and her, like, sense of self-worth was so low that she went and decided to reconstruct a whole nother identity and live as that person for the time that she was living on that island. And then, of course, she returns to Seoul, and then it's like she resumes her life as the person that she once used to be in order to live this assimilationist life. And if we think about, like, what is this idea of who you expect yourself to be, right, versus who you allow yourself to be? Like, what are these two ideas? Are they separate? Do they necessarily have to be separate, right? And then Rini, such a good friend. What a dear, dear friend. The part-time girl, right? The one that has, like, broken out of the matrix of white-collar job pressures. She says to Uno, like, listen, you feel badly about the fact that you had these two different identities and you feel like you were betraying us or betraying yourself or betraying others. Truth is, you were always all of these people. You were always embodying all of these individuals. Like, none of these parts of you, the good parts of you, were ever separate or, like, gone. They were always there with you. So why fret? Why feel bad, right? It's like this, like, progressive steps towards wholeness, finding wholeness as an individual. So I really appreciated that narrative. And I think it's important for young people to see narratives like that, because it's empowering and it's hope-giving, life-giving, and all that good shit. So very charming show. Yeah, so that's my coverage of the show. If you guys have any questions for me or recommendations in terms of K-dramas for me, please give a shout. You can email them to me. I am back to my Gmail address. I am no longer going to use info@kdramaschool.com. So just email them to me at kdramaschool@gmail.com and I will get back to you all. Like I said, if you have not purchased my book, it is available for purchase. K-Drama School, A Pop Culture Inquiry into Why We Love Korean Television. You could get this now on Amazon. You could get it at Target. You could get it at Walmart. You could get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it anywhere at any one of your local bookstores. So I appreciate your kind support. Thank you for reading. Thank you for listening. And I will see you all next week.